Teresa Hurt in prayer as well, and Nate and Shannon and many others really in our church, Brother Ford, Brother Tony, Sister Shirley. In fact, we need to pray. I forgot to pray for Shirley, but we'll pray for her. And so there's just a lot of people that need a healing touch in their body. Before I get into the Word of God this morning, I've got to tell this story because it blessed me, and I shared with it some of you. As you know, I drive school bus for the Castle Rock School District, and I was out here the other day driving down South West Side Highway. I had just passed the high school, heading to another drop-off. It was the afternoon route, and I had a little boy behind me, and he's just a little kindergartner, cute little rascal. His name's Maverick. I love his name. And we're driving, and he tells me, he goes, "My stop's the next stop." I said, "Yeah, that's right." He says, "I've got brains that Jesus gave me." I said, "What did you say?" He says, you know who I'm talking about?" And I said, "Jesus." He says, "Yeah, he gave me brains." He goes, "I've got brains. I know what 1 + 1 is. 11. Out of the mouth of babes. God still has a witness. We hear about all that's going wrong in the world, and there is much. We know what the scriptures say concerning and pertaining to the last days. But God will always have a witness on this earth. He'll have a witness there in the schools. He'll have a witness on that bus. Wherever there is, God will have a witness. Amen? The world may curse him, but we can bless him. Amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, the first chapter. And I'll try to not hold you too long, Sister Shelley, and thank you for doing that for us as well. Thank you for putting all that together. And Shelley's quite talented. She's got good ideas, and it's amazing. Praise God. But I want to continue the message I started a couple of weeks ago out of 2 Peter. And I may not finish the message this morning. But I'll certainly, if we don't, that's all right. We'll finish it up on another time. By the way, we have a newlyweds in our midst this morning as well. And I've almost overlooked them. But Dylan and Cadence Hughes are with us. This is Rosemary's grandson, if you remember Dylan. Praise God. He finally got smart and got married. And you got a good one. Praise God. So awesome. It's good to have both of them this morning. Praise the Lord. And I hope to see your grandma soon. Tell her that I'm waiting for her to walk through those doors. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with the second verse. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us all things." Not some things, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and they should, and abound, and they should, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is blind, and cannot see far off, afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And I want to use for a subject this morning that I started a couple of weeks ago, life and godliness. Life and godliness. And let us pray. And Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray today that the truth of your word would pull down mighty strongholds by your mighty power. Father, we ask today, God, that you would sanctify us by the washing of the water of the word. Father, that we would be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us into truth and to be our teacher this morning. Father, I ask for the anointing of your Spirit. Give me divine utterance and clarity and unction, Father. Lord, that there be a demonstration of your Spirit here this hour. Father, we pray today, God, that we would know how to live life your way and not man's. Father, may the truth set us free. Father, may we, our heart be hungry to know the truth. And Father, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. A few weeks back, I dealt wearily with verse 2 and partially into verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And I don't want to revisit this, but I do want us to know that through knowing God, having an experiential knowledge of him, meaning not a necessarily a mental knowledge, but a heart knowledge of him, that you know who Jesus is. Amen? And you know Jesus in personal relationship and fellowship by faith in Jesus. That we would grow in that relationship and we would grow in that fellowship and that we would grow in that communion. Amen? When we first came to Christ, that was just the time that we met him. But now as we move forward in our new life, a life of abundant life and of eternal life and of godliness, we get to know him. We get to experience him. And his grace and his peace begins to multiply and increase in our hearts and our lives. And so may it be multiplied as we get to have association with him and know him. And then Peter wrote these words, according as his divine power has given us unto all things. It reveals to us that there is a divine power, and that power resides in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the source of true spiritual and eternal and abundant life today. An overcoming life, a life that overcomes the flesh, the world, and the devil. There is a source that we can connect into and we can plug into today, and we have by faith alone in Jesus Christ. From that power source, this divine power could flow into the believer and bring about such life and godliness that we never knew existed today. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the source of life and godliness. And this life, that Greek word life means Zoe. It means it speaks of the new birth, but the new life now that we have entered into. And it's not philosophical, it's experiential. It means that you can experience the abundance of what Christ has died for at Calvary's cross, of having such riches of love and grace and peace and mercy deposited deep down in the recesses of your soul, that you now possess abundant life. For Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Right, and that we also have the gift of eternal life. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Because my sins and your sins were judged at the cross. And God provided a remedy through his son and his atoning death at Calvary's cross. And from that work of Jesus 2,000 years ago on the hill of Golgotha, the grace of God can now flow to guilty sinners. The peace of God can now flow to guilty sinners. The love of God can now flow to guilty sinners, of which you and I are recipients today of the mercy, the grace, the love, and the power of God Almighty, because 2,000 years ago on a hill far away, Jesus Christ sacrificed and gave his life for those of us who are so unworthy of such mercy and grace, but yet we have received the gift of life and godliness and eternal life today. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We've got to be a thankful people. God has done so much for us. I want you to know today that this source of life and godliness does not reside in the church itself. It does not reside in your preacher or your pastor or the apostle or the prophet or the evangelist. It does not reside in a denominational structure. It only resides in the divine power, the divine Godhead. And our faith should never rest in this church or our denomination, or our works, or our efforts, or our ministries, but in God and God alone. Can you say amen? Don't place your faith in this mortal flesh. I'll disappoint you. I said I'll disappoint you from time to time. But God will never disappoint you. Jesus never fails. The Spirit of God never leaves. Am I making sense today? He's the source. Plug into the Godhead. Plug into the Godhead by faith in Jesus Christ. Plug into the Godhead by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he will touch you. He will mend you. He will empower you. He will save you. He will resurrect you. He will revive you. He will restore you. Thank you, Lord. So we have this, according as his divine power, which is our divine source, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. All things today. Today we treat God as that he's in a box and that this is his part in my life and that I have other parts. Listen, he's got to be your everything. And he's got to be your answer to everything. Can you say amen? When you gave your life to Jesus, not only did you give all of your life and entrusted your soul unto him for his mercy and his forgiveness and his pardon and eternal life, but you gave him control of every aspect of your living. You gave him control of your job. You gave him control of your career, of your education, of who you marry. You gave him control. You gave him control. All things. He has an answer for every problem in life. Don't look to the world. Don't look to man. Look to Jesus. He is sufficient and he is able to give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look to him. Trust him. Trust him. Believe in him. Have confidence in him. Even in the dark times of seasons of life, which we will all face and which we all have faced, some worse than others, some longer than others, but I can here to tell you I've had some dark days, but God carried me through. I had some dark nights that I thought I would never see the sunshine again, but God carried me through. There was times in my life that I stumbled, I failed, and I brought the Father shame, but the drop of the precious blood of Jesus cleansed me, and he picked me back up and did not give up on me, and he will not give up on you. Do you hear what I'm saying? All things pertain that pertain to life and godliness. God's not in the business of throwing you away if you stumble and fail. He's in the business of taking you, bringing you closer to his heart, that you may hear the heartbeat of it and the sound of his love. Do you hear what I'm saying today? He is so merciful. Do not think for one moment that he just didn't die on Calvary. When he died at Calvary, he invested so much in you that he's not just going to let you go when you slip and stumble and fail and say things you shouldn't say and think things you shouldn't think, go places you shouldn't go. I'm here to tell you that if you will turn to him and confess your sin to him, he is faithful and just. I said he's faithful and just. Every time, all the time, he will forgive you, and he will not just forgive you, he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. He will wipe it away that it's gone forevermore in the seas of forgetfulness. Thank God. For if he marked iniquities, there would not be a one of us here this morning. If God held grudges, and if anybody has a right to hold a grudge, it's God. If God held grudges, he doesn't even hold a grudge. He offers perfect forgiveness. And that perfect forgiveness, and your sins are placed in a sea of forgetfulness. And when God looks at you, he looks at you as if you never sinned. Now, don't ask me to wrap my mind around that, because I can't. Because Satan is very clever, always reminding me and accusing me of the past, when God has forgiven and forgotten of it. And because he's forgotten my past, he has secured my future. That eternal life is secure in Christ. Not in the church, in Christ. Not in the preacher, in Christ. And because of that, I'm secure in him. And you're secure in him. As long as our faith resides in him. Abiding in him. Remaining in him, staying in him. Amen. So this power has given to us all things. Know today that you have a power source that is the answer to every issue and problem in your life. I said you have a power source, and it's God himself, who has given you all things, every problem, every circumstance, every adverse difficulty that you may face. The solution is found in Christ and him crucified. All right. That pertain unto life and godliness. This divine power is the source of not just spiritual life, but that which flows from the life, and that is godliness. Amen. Christ is the source, and the cross is the means. What do you mean? The source of godliness is found in Christ. He's your source. Amen? Church programs are not the source of godliness. And I'm not downplaying church programs per se. But when we begin to look and trust in the programs instead of him, we're missing it. Because programs cannot produce godliness in the life of the child of God. The church cannot produce godliness in the life of the Christian. Only Jesus. So he's the source. I look to him. And so many times we think that holiness, when we're talking about godliness, we're talking about holiness, and we think holiness is the way to Jesus, not realizing that Jesus is actually the way to holiness. Amen. Well, preacher, are you saying we shouldn't live? We should absolutely live holy. Be holy, for I am holy. We can't see. No man will see the Lord without holiness. But I'm here to tell you the holiness does not reside in you, and you are not the source of your own personal holiness. If you were, there was no need for Christ to die at Calvary's cross. But Jesus is your source, and Jesus is your way to true living and life, godliness and holiness today. We need to start believing that. Because many times we've learned things that weren't true. And we have to unlearn. And the Spirit of God is having to unteach us, unlearn us of things that we have held on to for years that have actually become strongholds and hindrances to our walk with God rather than living a victorious Christian life. Amen. Now, what do you mean the cross is the means? God is a holy God. In fact, God is so holy that it is beyond human capability to really understand such holiness and righteousness because we live in a fallen world and we ourselves are frail human beings. God has always been good and He's always been gracious. And we think that somewhere between the Old and New Testaments, God all of a sudden got gracious. He's always been gracious. But He could not extend grace to anybody because of sin. That sin had to be addressed. But because He is good and because He is loving, He had a way to address the sin and the sinner. Listen to what I'm saying. Because this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart. This is what this is what 66 books in the Bible are about. It all comes down to the apex. It all comes to Calvary. It was already determined before the foundation of the world that Christ Jesus would die for us. Get your faith planted in what He did, not in what you're doing. Keep your faith in what He did, His sacrifice, the price that He paid to atone for your sins. All right. Now, when Christ died for us, what does that mean to me? What does that mean for me? It means this, that Christ performed a legal work. By transferring the judgment that should fall on you and me to fall on Him. And my judgment for my sins fell on Christ through death. Because the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. Those are the wages of sin. Christ tasted death for every man, that now by the means of His death, it opened up a door where God can now righteously and justly forgive man because the price for his sin had been paid at Calvary. If Calvary never took place, God could never extend His grace to us, even though He Himself is gracious. It would take a sacrifice. It would take judgment. It would take justice to be satisfied. And justice was satisfied at Calvary's cross. We were discussing this Wednesday night to a degree. This is what makes the Word of God and the gospel so vastly different than anything else that man offers. This is why, because of the cross, because of the blood of Christ, because of His atoning sacrifice, that is a finished work. Biblical Christianity, I'll call it that, is vastly different than Islam, vastly different than Hinduism, vastly different than Buddhism. Vastly different than Shintoism. Vastly different than Roman Catholicism. Vastly different than Mormonism. Vastly different than Jehovah Witness Watchtower Society. Vastly different from all the cults. Vastly different. Because man, you can always tell man devised religion because it's always based on your performance and that you earn your way to heaven some way, somehow. But God decrees to us through His Word that there is no humanly possible way that I can earn my way to heaven, that I can merit forgiveness from God. That's why it took Christ to die in my stead, and God did provide a remedy. And I'm here to tell you, God's way is Christ and the cross. Man's way is his own performance. God's way is the performance of Jesus Christ, and his performance has become his promise to you and to me of the gift of life and godliness and eternal life. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. My Lord, I don't know if we realize the depths to which Christ has gone, the depths that God has gone to save even the most vile, the most wretched. And it's not just a matter of being forgiven. That involves that. But now, and that's justification. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to wrap this up, and I'll finish it later. When you came to Jesus, you were justified. Well, what does that mean? Justification. It's important that the child of God knows what justification is. It means this, and it was instantaneously. It's not progressive. It is your standing in Christ is one of righteousness. You're right with God. Not because you're something special. Not because you're so holy, because you're not. But because of the sacrifice of Christ. And when you place that faith, when you place childlike, simple faith in Him, immediately all the sin that you owe, that you were indebted to God for, has been, that slate has been wiped clean. It's not there anymore. All the debt that you owed to God is gone. Again, because Christ paid it on your behalf, and He didn't pay it with silver and gold. He paid it with His own precious blood. And when you come to Christ, you are immediately justified, just as if you never sinned. He takes away your unrighteousness, but He credits to you His righteousness. Am I making sense this morning? Your unrighteousness He has removed. His righteousness He has given. That's justification. And we teachers just normally say it's just as if it never happened. Just as if you never sinned. Justification. Secondly, you are sanctified. Sanctification comes in two parts. First, it's instantaneous. Immediately, you are now property of God. You are separated from this world unto Him, not by your works, but by the work of Christ at Calvary. Not only are we to place our faith in the cross for our salvation, we are to place our faith in the cross for our sanctification. Amen? Amen. We have been taught that we are saved by faith in the blood, but sanctified by our works of the flesh. And we're not. The writer of Hebrews clearly said that we are sanctified through the sacrificial death of Jesus at Calvary. Now you have a standing with God. It's a righteous standing. You're in right standing with Him. But you also have a condition. You have a position. A condition and a position. Positionally, you're right with God. Conditionally, you and I have a long way to go. You weren't perfected the moment you came to Christ. Standing-wise, you are, but conditionally, you're not. That's why we hear that he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's a working of the Holy Spirit, an operation of the Holy Spirit, conforming us into the image and likeness of Jesus. And what true life and godliness is to be like Jesus. Isn't it? To be conformed. We've been predestined to be conformed. Whoever chooses Christ has been predestined already to be conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. That we should be becoming less and less like us and more like him. Amen. Because his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's the source. Start looking to the source. Start trusting the source. Start confident, having confidence in the source. Start believing in the source, the divine power that flows through the cross of Jesus Christ and is found in Christ and Christ alone. Can you say amen? All right. You say, I wasn't taught any of this. I wasn't either. But the more you get into the scriptures, the more that you will see Jesus on the face of every page. And his work at the cross. We don't leave the cross. We stay at the cross. Well, what do you mean? Paul said these words, I will glory in the cross. For the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He said, for I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. You have died with him. The old man has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I'm not in control. Christ who lives in me. He's the source power. He's the source of life and godliness. Not your works, not your consecration. Not the Christian discipline, Christ. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of my works. Hello? Are you listening to me? I live by the faith of Living Waters Christian Fellowship. I live by the faith of Sam Myers. I live by the faith of the Son of God. So my faith is to be connected to him, in him, and remain there. Can you say amen? And when it remains there, I start experiencing life and godliness. Amen. That's my source. Now, how do we live our life? By faith. For the just shall live by faith, which means a dependence, a trust, a confidence, a relying upon Jesus and what he did at the cross. That's how I live my life, constant dependence on him daily. This is why Jesus said, and I told you I would quit 7-8 minutes ago, and God forgive me for lying. I got to share something with you. I love preaching to all of you. I love teaching you. I'm passionate about preaching and teaching. I love the Word of God. It is absolutely mind-boggling. God's revelation of himself, which reveals what we are and who he is. And how we get right with him and how we become like him. We now know him. We now need to become like him. and I become like him the same way that I become to know him. I came to know him by faith in Jesus, and now I become like him by faith in Jesus. Amen? So that's too simple, preacher. That's God's way. Take it or leave it. But that's God's way. Life and godliness, and there's a divine power. And that divine power really is ensconced in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only flows and functions through the blood of Jesus and our faith in that. It's a legal work. He'll operate in your life as you're trusting him, conforming you into the image of God, making you fruitful, removing the dead fruit, and giving you living fruit, good fruit. Removing the corrupt fruit and giving you good fruit. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? It's not God's will for anyone here this morning and for every true born-again child of God. It's God's will for us not to be barren or unfruitful. Amen? It's God's will for us to prosper and grow spiritually and to have that abundant life and to walk in it and to experience true godly living. But again, there's a divine source to this. And there's also a divine door that has opened the way, and that was the blood of Christ to make this possible. So whatever weaknesses and struggles that we may have, and we have them, need to be addressed by faith in Christ and his work at Calvary. That is the only way to address even our weaknesses, our frailties, our besetting sins has got to be addressed by faith in what Jesus did and not by confidence and faith in what I'm doing. Amen? What he did is sufficient. It is finished. It's a finished work. And we are to walk in his work and not ours. Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me, please?
Praise God. Go ahead, honey.
I'm going to give an altar call this morning, and I'm going to ask all the saints, let's find a place. Because the great battle really is this, placing our faith in Christ and him crucified. We fight the good fight of faith. This is every attack from Satan is an attack against your faith in Christ, either to destroy it or to remove it to something else. But our faith must be anchored in him, and we must find our rest in him and what he did. Amen. You say, preacher, I shouldn't perform any good works. Listen, good works come from proper faith in Christ. Godly living flows from proper faith in Christ. This abundant life flows from proper faith in Christ. And many times we're stuck because our faith is not in Christ, but in what I'm doing or where I'm going. Listen, place your faith in what he did through death on the cross. That is your victory. Praise God. Let's find a place today and let's ask the Lord, Lord, search my heart. Father, help me believe. Help me understand. Help me to trust what Jesus did. Help me not to trust and be entangled in a yoke of bondage again, but to trust what Christ did at Calvary's cross. So church, come. Come and let's find a place today at the altar and let's ask God do a work in me of life and godliness this morning. Praise the Lord. Lord, you perform the work in me. You conform me into the image and likeness of Jesus. God is just looking for a surrendered vessel. Lord, have your way. Make me what I ought to be. Just make me what I ought to be. Make me what I ought to be this morning. Oh, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Make me like Jesus this morning. Make me like Christ. May I reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and his heart, his character, not mine. Lord, purge me of my uncharacter. and put on Christ. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. Praise the Lord.
God's specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other friend can do. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable.
Church, I want you to know something. God specializes in things thought impossible.
In things
Do you believe that today? He can do what no other friend can do.
Hallelujah.
He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's lift our hands. I feel the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Oh, God, any mountain. You can't tunnel through. I've been there. Thank you, Lord.
God
specializes
in things thought impossible.
He specializes. Thank you, Lord. In things thought impossible. He can do what no other friend can do. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Or this afternoon. Brother Jack, would you close in prayer, please? Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.